All right. Episode 20. Sex scandal in Pennsylvania. Questions and answers. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. By and by, and the meaning of life. All coming up today on the Wayne Feeds podcast. Check it out. Exalting God in the way you live, exalting God in the decisions that you make, exalting God in the relationships that you have, exalting God in the vision and the purpose and the direction of your leadership.
I just wed you. That means you're invited to church on Sunday.
The only limit that you have is your ability to receive.
Only God could take something old and turn it into something new.
You need the pep talk from Pastor Weezy. You can do it. Come on, man. We're going to live for God. It's going to be amazing.
You hang 10 toes off the front of your board. And I'm centered on Christ, even though my situation is not.
We're in for a ride.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Wayne Feeds podcast. So glad you're joining me. I'm your friend and host, Dr. Wayne Hansen from Summit Church of Castle Rock. Glad you're watching, and we have an action-packed show. This is episode 20 of the daily podcast, and I'm so excited that we're getting better at this. The further along we get, still working on some of the filters and the audio and trying to get everything working the way it's supposed to, but I appreciate you watching and listening and visiting the sponsors, those who are supporting the podcast here locally in Central Colorado. Make sure and visit those guys and bless them and be a blessing to them. And again, subscribe to the podcast. So go on to iTunes and look for the Wayne Feeds Daily. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Pastor Wayne H. You can find my YouTube channel, Wayne C. Hansen, and you can find it through Wayne Feeds there as well. And support the podcast. Tell some friends about it. Share it. If there's content that we're doing that you enjoy, make sure and tell people about it, because it only grows as fast as you help me make it grow, okay? And today's podcast is brought to you by Papaw's Texas Barbecue here in Castle Rock. My friends, Leslie and Monty Williams, I'll tell you a little bit more about their slow-smoked Texas barbecue, but it's a great way to provide for a family party, your next corporate event, a family reunion, a birthday party, whatever you can do. Support Papaw's Texas Barbecue and Summit Church of Castle Rock, of which I'm the pastor here. We meet 10:30 Sunday mornings at Castleview High School. We're in a series right now called Ask Anything. And have you ever gone to church and wished that you could raise your hand and interrupt the sermon and say, hey, I have a question. Will you please answer this from the Bible? Will you please address this particular issue? Watch this quick promo and I'll make the appeal here for you to ask some questions. We addressed four of the most difficult questions last Sunday already, talking about suffering, talking about free will, talking about what should be the Christian response to how we treat Native Americans. There's some very good questions that came up. So if you want to watch some of that sermon, it's on my Facebook wall. You can watch my answers to those questions. But that series is going to continue this coming Sunday. This series that's in full effect now called Ask Anything. Check it out. So ask anything. Hit me up on Twitter at Pastor Wayne H, or email me at Pastor Wayne H at mac.com with your questions, or hit me up on one of the social media sites, whether it's Facebook or one of the others, or in a comment section on YouTube. I'd love to answer your toughest questions about God, the Bible, suffering. How do you live for God? What is it? Maybe some deep theological disputes, whatever you may be going through. But it's time for our next segment called Today in the News. All right, many of you have seen probably what's hit the national news today is over 1,000 victims of sexual molestation and abuse in the Pennsylvania Archdiocese of the Catholic Church. Six of the nine archdioceses have come out and admitted abuse in the priesthood. I want you to see Shep Smith as he talks about what's come out regarding this whole issue in Pennsylvania. Check it out.
Breaking in just the last hour, predator priests and a bombshell grand jury report just released. More than 300 Catholic priests in the state of Pennsylvania are accused of either sexually abusing children themselves or helping others cover up abuse.
You're ready, though.
The number of identifiable young victims, more than 1,000. That's the finding in a 1,300-page grand jury report just out in the last hour. The grand jury for 2 years investigated accusations in six of the eight dioceses in the state of Pennsylvania. Listen to how the grand jury opened its report. I'm quoting here. We, the members of the grand jury, need you to hear this. We know some of you have heard some of it before. There have been other reports about child sex abuse within the Catholic Church, but never on this scale. For many of us, they write, those earlier stories happened someplace else, someplace away. Now we know the truth. It happened everywhere. We heard the testimony of dozens of witnesses concerning clergy sex abuse. We subpoenaed and reviewed 500,000 pages of internal diocesan documents. They contained credible allegations against over 300 predator priests. Over 1,000 child victims were identifiable from the church's own records. We believe that the real number of children whose records were lost or who were afraid even to come forward is in the thousands. The reports add all of those victims were brushed aside in every part of the state by church leaders who preferred to protect the abusers and their institutions above all. The Pennsylvania Attorney General put it in stark terms.
Priests were raping little boys and girls, and the men of God who were responsible for them not only did nothing, they hid it all for decades. Monsignors, auxiliary bishops, bishops, archbishops, cardinals have mostly been protected. Many, including some named in this report, have been promoted.
The Pennsylvania Attorney General in the last hour. The Allentown Diocese has released a statement that reads in part, abuse is abhorrent and has no place in the church or anywhere in society. Much has changed in the past 15 years, as the grand jury acknowledged in its report. Most of the incidents date back decades. The offending priests are either no longer in active ministry or are deceased. Since 2002, our diocese has taken strong and decisive action to prevent abuse and to provide support for victims and survivors. But that does not change the fact that the abuse of children is terrible and sinful. The abuse was devastating and tragic for the victims and survivors and continues to cause pain and anger to this day. The grand jury reports the truth is bishops and other Catholic Church leaders covered up the crimes and obstructed justice in order to avoid scandal, and that the same leaders persuaded victims not to report the abuse and police officers not to investigate the abuse. Though some of the allegations do go back for decades and therefore cannot be prosecuted, a priest in the Greensburg, Pennsylvania diocese last month pleaded guilty to molesting a 10-year-old boy, all part of this very report. Though the grand jury said the church records identify more than 1,000 victims, it reports the panel believes the real number is in the thousands.
Terrifying, disgusting, sad, tragic. We need to pray for the victims of these sexual abuse scandals. We need to pray for reform in the modern American Catholic Church. Of course, so much of this has gone unreported for fear of lawsuits, but it's compiled for so long, and it goes so deep that this corruption, it's absolutely appalling and terrifying, and we just need to pray for healing and that Christ will show his love and that these priests who have abused children will be brought to justice. And being someone who's gone through my own fair share of difficulties in life, I'm telling you, there are some wounds that only Jesus can heal, and we just need to pray God's comfort over the victims, and that his light, the light of God's truth, will come and just shine the light through the darkness of all this, and that somehow there could be some forgiveness, reconciliation, and justice for people who take advantage of children. I think there's a special place in hell for people who get away with murder and get away with abuse of that kind. All right, it's time to move on to something much nicer and something much better. It's time for today's inspiration and motivation. All right, today's inspiration and motivation comes from the one-year Bible. I love to teach out of the one-year Bible, and today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, in today's highlighted verse, and it says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, "If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure." So we need to remember, we can never say, "Oh, I just couldn't help myself." Actually, you could, because God is promising here in His Word that you're never tempted beyond what you can handle or beyond what you can bear. He's always going to provide a way of escape. He's always going to provide a way out if you'll take the way out. And so we can never say God is tempting me. We can never put the blame on other people or say, "Well, I just couldn't help myself. I didn't have any self-control." No, we're gonna give an answer, a report to God for how we behaved on this earth. And speaking to that scandal we just looked at in today in the news, there will be justice. One day God will even the scales. One day those who have trusted in Christ will come and know Christ, and those who have brought dishonor to His name, He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so important that we live a life in relationship with Christ, and we're striving to become the disciples that He wants us to be. Is there forgiveness? Of course there is. And you must forgive. If you're going to be a person that lives clear and free and open, you have to live with the forgiveness of Christ in your own heart as well. So good reminder of inspiration today out of God's Word. It's time for the song of the day. Well, on Sunday, I was talking about justice. I was talking about suffering in the world. I was telling the church that, you know, there's some questions that we're not going to get the answer for this side of heaven. But when we get to the other side, we are going to understand it better by and by. And it just reminded me of this great song that's a pretty old one now, but written by Charles Tindley, called "We'll Understand It Better By and By." Trials dark on every hand, but we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us so that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are all gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we've trusted in the Lord according to His Word, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are all gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for
for some thoughtless word or deed. We will wonder why the test, when we try to do the best, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God all are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are all gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Yeah, by and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God all are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. We will understand it better by and by. We will understand it better by and by.
Song of the day. We'll understand it better. Hope you're doing okay. Hope you had a good day at work. Hope you're having a good week so far. It's hump day, everybody. It's Wednesday. If you can get through Wednesday, you can get to Friday. If you can get to Friday, you can get to Sunday and start it all over again. And I'm glad you're watching tonight. Glad you're listening. And the song of the day, man, I love it. If nothing else, it just encourages my spirit to sing some of my favorite songs. And there's an upcoming event here in Castle Rock called the Castle Rock Day of Prayer. And it's the fourth annual Castle Rock Day of Prayer. I want you to see this quick video promo of various pastors. I pray with the pastors of our city every Thursday morning right here in Castle Rock. And we have put together a video promoting this single day in September where all the churches, all the Christians get together under one open sky, and we petition God's help in Castle Rock for this year. So check out this promo. First of all, featuring our mayor, Jennifer Green, and then pastors from all over the city. Check it out.
Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Castle Rock is our city on a hilltop.
Colossians 4 says, "Be faithful to pray as intercessors who are fully alert and giving thanks to God."
Castle Rock Day of Prayer, it is coming. Mark your calendar. Don't miss it. It's a great time to worship together.
I am inviting you, imploring you, encouraging you, come to the Castle Rock Day of Prayer.
So this will be our fourth annual Castle Rock Day of Prayer. I encourage you. Come on out. If you've been there, you know the power that's there. If you haven't, come on out and pray with us.
Since the time we started 4 years ago, things have changed. The whole atmosphere has changed in Castle Rock and the surrounding area.
It's been an awesome time to pray with the people in our community.
It's going to be a great time. We'll be praying together. We'll be doing worship together.
To unite together, pray for one another.
Please come out and pray with us in the spirit of unity, lifting up the name of Jesus.
We hope to see you then. And please know we pray for you every day.
I hope to see you there on that morning where we get to come and just rejoice in the name of our Savior and lift up his name together.
September 1st, come on out. Stand in the gap on behalf of all the people that we love and we know. We
gather together as the Church of Castle Rock and pray together and seek God's face for our community.
I hope you'll join us for the fourth annual Castle Rock Day of Prayer on September 1st. You don't want to miss it.
Let's seek God's face and his glory for our community.
I want to encourage you to be a part of the upcoming fourth annual Castle Rock Day of Prayer on Saturday, September 1st at Festival Park from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. where we're going to come together and pray and worship our God. Be a part of this. God bless you.
All right, so September 1st in Festival Park at 9 a.m. It's going to be an awesome time, Castle Rock Day of Prayer. Don't forget, I'm doing this series now at Summit Church called Ask Anything. So message me your questions, text me your questions, tweet me your questions, comment your questions on Facebook Live or on YouTube. Somehow get your toughest questions to me in a comment thread, and I will make sure it gets included in this new series. Again, we are also brought to you by the Papaw's Texas Barbecue of Castle Rock. Monty and Leslie Williams run a great business, and they would be happy to serve your next event. Make sure and hit up Papa's Texas Barbecue of Castle Rock. Also coming up this Friday night in the Haven, right here in Castle Rock, is the Haven Block Party. It's a chance to meet your neighbors and friends. There's going to be a barbecue, kids karaoke, cornhole, bounce house, fire pit hangout. Bring a side dish or dessert. Drinks are provided. Bring a chair. And call me at the church office if you have questions, 303-524-4000. It's going to be a great time. It's time for our final segment, everybody. Let's talk. You know, oftentimes we have questions in life. We've got things that go beyond our human understanding. We go through difficulties, and we don't know what to do about that. There's a great book written by Nikki Gumbel called The Questions of Life, or The Big Questions of Life. And Nikki Gumbel is the lead pastor or vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton in London. And it's a great book just talking about the meaning of life. How do I get more out of my life? And would God want to be a part of that? I want to read a quick quote from his book called Mortal Life. It says, "For many years, I had three objections to the Christian faith. I thought it was boring. I went to chapel at school and found it very dull. I felt sympathy with Robert Louis Stevenson, who once entered in his diary as if recording an extraordinary phenomenon. I had been to church today, and I'm not depressed." In a similar vein, the American humorist Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. My impression of the Christian faith was that it was dreary and uninspiring. Secondly, it seemed to me to be untrue. I had intellectual objections to the Christian faith, and rather pretentiously, I called myself a logical determinist. When I was 14, I wrote an essay in which I tried to destroy the whole of Christianity and disprove the existence of God. Rather surprisingly, it was nominated for a prize. I had knocked down arguments against Christian faith and rather enjoyed arguing with Christians, thinking that I had won some great victory. And then thirdly, I thought that Christianity was irrelevant. I could not see how something that happened 2,000 years ago and 2,000 miles away in the Middle East could have any relevance to my life in the 20th century Britain. We often used to sing that much-loved hymn, Jerusalem, which asks, 'And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green?' We all knew the answer was no, they did not. It seemed to be totally irrelevant to my life. I realized with hindsight that it was partly my fault, because I never really listened and was totally ignorant about the Christian faith. Many people today in our secularized society don't know much about Jesus Christ or what he did or anything to do with Christianity. One hospital chaplain listed some of the replies that he was given to the question, 'Would you like Holy Communion?' Here are some of the answers. 'No thanks, I'm Church of England.' Or, 'No thanks, I asked for cornflakes.' Or, 'No thanks, I've never been circumcised.' Christianity is far from boring. It's not untrue, and it's not irrelevant. On the contrary, it's exciting, it's true and relevant. Jesus said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.' If he was right, and I believe he was, then there can be nothing more important in this life than our response to him. Knowing what you know, or knowing what you believe about God, knowing what you believe about Jesus, is probably one of the most important decisions that you will ever make with your life here on earth and for all eternity. I want to encourage you that if you feel far from God, just draw near to him. If you've never read the Bible, pick up a copy of the Bible and start reading the New Testament. Find a place in the Bible that you can begin to understand and read. I would suggest one of the Gospels. The Gospel of Mark is great. You can read it in about an hour and get the full gist of the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ. When we look to answer the toughest questions about life, when we seek God, the Bible says that when you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. The Bible says, seek him while he may still be found. We need to make an effort to say, okay, God, reveal yourself to me. I want to know more about you. We're hoping to launch a new Alpha course this coming school year, and I want you to see this quick promo about what the Alpha course is all about. Still looking for a venue here, but I believe that God's going to use it in a powerful way to reach a lot of folks who would normally never darken the doors of a church, but who are curious about who Jesus was and what he's all about. So check out this promo.
you've ever wondered if there's more, you're not alone in that. We all explore, every day, in small ways and big. We find ourselves, reinvent ourselves, define ourselves, publish our lives. We find ways to stand out and ways to blend in. We meet people that remind us of us, and people that remind us of who we want to be, and people that just make the journey that much more fun. We connect and share. We learn from each other and grow together. We celebrate and mourn side by side. We push our limits, challenge ourselves, fall down and get back up again. Our days are long and our nights get short. We put in the hours in the hope of building something that lasts. And at the end of the day, find joy in the fleeting things. We want to squeeze all the life out of life and hit pause on moments we wish could last. Put simply, we want to live and along the way discover all we can, experience more, and find out who we really are. For all our searching, it's rare to find time to think and talk about the big questions of life, about faith and reason and God and meaning. But exploring is good. We're built for it.
All right, the Alpha Course. Is there more to life than this? I believe that there is. Wherever you are in life, you can always grow. You can always ask the tough questions and have a better understanding when you get into a relationship and discussion with other people. You know, one of the things that's bad about social media is we're living with the illusion of having lots of friends, but not really living an authentic relationship with people. When you go to an Alpha Course, what can you expect? Well, you come and there'll be a dinner, and there's only two rules about dinner. No politics and no religion. We just want to get to know each other, tell each other about one another's family and boyfriends, girlfriends, spouses, kids, your career, what some of your aspirations are. And then we listen to a talk or watch a talk, or one of the leaders of Alpha come get up and give a talk about what the main question of the evening is. And then we finish with about a 20-minute discussion around that particular topic. I really encourage you to investigate the Alpha Course, begin to ask the difficult questions. And again, if you're interested in this series called Ask Anything at Summit Church, I really want to encourage you, contact me, email me, PastorWayneH@mac.com, or message me on this thread or on YouTube or iTunes or wherever you want to message me, and I'll try to address some of the questions that you may have about God during this series. So connect with us, share, like, repost, relike, and help me grow this podcast one episode at a time. God bless you guys. Thanks for watching tonight, and we'll connect again real soon. Take care.